listening to Jay and Talk.
Go.
We in the jungle, baby.
Number one.
This that gin talk, this that gin talk, this that sit down gin to make you zen talk. This that gin talk, this that gin talk, this that take a shot gin my best friend talk. This that gin talk, this that gin talk, this that sit down gin to make you zen talk. This that gin talk, this that gin talk, this that take a shot gin my best friend.
You want to kick it off, Trav?
Yo, this is Gin Talk Podcast with Mike J and Trav. We got a special guest in the house tonight. Arthur, you are. She make movies too. Yeah, movie too.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Above, Miss Ejanae, welcome to the Gin Talk Podcast.
Yay! Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Glad you came on. So, how you been? How you been?
It's been good. Been a busy day. Oh my God, so busy. Like, what is going on? Friday. What is happening? Oh my God.
Here we are. One of them days.
Yes, it is.
Entrepreneur goes through.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We're glad to have you on the Gin Talk. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate it. Like we just like church. We ain't gonna hold you long, but we gonna hold you long enough tonight.
All right, well let's do it.
Oh man, we're gonna get into this your book on bullying / film. So you turned into a film, right?
So let me go through the whole thing so we can make sure everybody's very clear.
Yeah.
So December the 3rd, 2018, my 9-year-old niece, which is who I wear on my chest every day. Her name is Mackenzie Adams. She committed suicide due to racial bullying in school. And after that, I became like the spokesperson for the family. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was moving and hurt. But I had to get not only her story out, but justice for her and justice in everybody else's story that had the same similar endings. And so I became a motivational speaker that next month. I was been all over the place speaking, talking to people. It's not that people are not aware, but it's that people are unaware how severe it is. Everybody always talk about, oh, well, back when I was this, that, and the third, I didn't go through this, that. Well, this is not the same thing. So let's stop putting those words in the air, because life, everything has changed. Life is different. This is not the same world that it once was. So things are different. So I became an author in 2020, wrote my first book. It has nothing to do with bullying. However, it does have Mackenzie in the back of the book. I also have therapists that are in the book, because what I have found over these past 4.5 years is that people do want counseling. They do want therapy. They just don't want to go to the people that they know. It's understandable. Yeah. So if I can give them the outlet to speak to someone that's a stranger, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And that's what I have done, will do, and continue to do. And so book one, two, three, and four has Mackenzie in it. Book five, however, does not, because I started to shift gears, but everything goes back to supporting the Mackenzie Foundation. So Mackenzie is not in the books. However, book three and four, which is called Living Life After Death, I do talk about her death. I do talk about the people that did people hair, it quote unquote, to give to the family, that did plates and all of that stuff. And we, the family, never saw any of the money. So in order for you to read about what I said, you got to pay $29.99 to see what I wrote about you. Okay. So book one and two is called What Death Do We Part? One and two. And my first movie is based off of book number one. And that is about marriage and divorce. 3 and 4 is talk about living life after death, which happened so much during COVID, which I believe is the reason book 3 and 4 are my two Amazon best-selling books, because so many people was losing family members and everybody had time to read.
So, we started the podcast right at time too.
But that's like the gist of the books. Mackenzie isn't, like, her story isn't in the books, but when I get to Living Life After Death 1 and 2, I do talk about how we as families, we live life after death. And book 3, 4, and 5 are all supernatural books, and they are fantasy explicit books. So don't think you're just going to read some boring stuff, because I ain't never been bored.
So those 1 and 2 books, like, so what, like, besides, so what was the inspiration behind those books? Say COVID and people losing family members, like, what was the inspiration behind those two books?
So the inspiration, because, okay, so just like most people, when I tell them I wrote books and, you know, I use the funds for the foundation, they already assume that I wrote about Mackenzie, her story as far as being bullied and those things, and I didn't. So I did want to, however, write about what families do or have to endure when they're planning a funeral for a loved one. See, a lot of people like, oh, I'm offering my condolences. And let me get y'all 1 point real quick. It's still been a minute with Mackenzie, but we've lost other family members that was very close to us in since her passing. Don't come quoting that Bible stuff talking about to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We want them present with us and absent from the Lord, okay? I just want to keep it 100%. I understand, because I used to be, you know, a first lady and all this type of stuff. I born and raised in church. I get it, but we don't want to hear it. That'll get you punched in the face the quickest, okay? Say you're praying for us. Keep it plain and simple. Just say, I'm praying for you, and keep on. Because people really don't know what to say, but those of us that have lost loved ones that close, we just stick, we sit back and we wait till the air clear out, because people gonna clear out, and then that's when the family begins to grieve, when all of the motion and the movement is gone. So I always pull up, if I don't go to the funeral, which I'm not a funeral person, never have been, and most definitely is not now, but if I do go to one, that individual or that family meant a lot to me. But I don't see bodies. I don't go looking for no bodies. I'm sitting in the back of the church and try to be last one in, the first one out. I can't, my spirit can't do it. I can't do it. So grieving, Living Life After Death 1 and 2, it's talking about those that are living, not the dead. It's talking about the living and how we can go through this and getting healing and counseling to move forward and actually doing, having memorable moments for our loved one, like the Mackenzie Foundation. I go and talk to schools, I go and talk to churches, passing out her buttons and different things that I have of her. I do a toy drive in her name so that the babies can, you know, kids that have been bullied can remember Mackenzie by the toys that they are receiving during Christmas time. So it is ways, like if you lost a loved one, you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. If they like flowers, pick flowers or go buy some flowers and give it to someone on that person's behalf. Or, you know, if they like going to the Hawks game or whatever, like get a ticket and give it to somebody. Just whatever that deed is to make you happy and get through your healing for losing your loved one. So, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I worked on a crisis unit for kids for like 5 years back in, not too long ago. And like, most of them were there for bullying, like someone wanted to commit suicide. So I done seen it all, like from kids wanting to take their life. Right. Like all that out from the cut, I was seeing kids cut, like all kind of things kids go through. Like one girl, like she was like I seen deep, because I like, dang, how can you cut yourself that deep? But hey, with the people getting bullied, like you said, you never know when they get pushed to that level, you never know how they're gonna react. And yeah, I'm glad you're doing stuff like, and to keep her name alive, like all these different toy drives, like her name never dies, thanks to you. But yeah, that's pretty good.
And then the history behind, with the story behind the tour drive. The tour drive, so Mackenzie passed in 18. The Black Friday was that November Black Friday, whatever, of 18. She had given me, her and my son had given me her their list because they were cousin twins. They were 6 months apart. So she would have been 14, the same age as him now. She would be 13. She'd be turning 14 this year because his birthday was February, hers August. And they gave me their list and I went about everything on that list, both of them. I went to Black Friday and I don't do Black Friday, but I went because I said, let me see what it's about. So I went to this real country place and it was no lie. Like, it was no lie. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So I got everything on that list. I wrapped it and put it on that tree and I kept her gifts under my tree for 2 years. And when I started giving her gifts, so I kept my tree up, I kept her gifts there because I didn't want to let her go. And those were her gifts. That was her last thing she wanted. She got everything that year. And that's what the tour drive birthed from, my healing to let go. So, so that's her story when I tell about why her toy drive, why give to her toy drive. And I only give to bully or overcome bully kids, which means people submit names, they submit stories. And I honestly, I've gotten over the past 3 years now, I've gotten up to 120 kids and my heart would not allow me to not get something for every child. And then when I would tell other people, they would just bring loads and loads of toys because there is a meaning, there is a why, there is a mission for everything that I do in her name. It has meaning and it does touch his heart. Every person that has been involved.
Yeah, that's good right there. And you saying you was going through that trauma and I couldn't, that was... that's sad. And it's like when that, your healing process, I know it was probably, you still going through it and everything. Like, was it an outlet through your work for healing also when you was working on your stuff? Was this an outlet to get all that out and for healing? Yes. I understand that. Because you're about to make, it's real emotional. When you talk about that, it's like, it makes me want to cry right now. But I can't, like, because I feel like, you know what I'm saying, you got these kids going crying for help and all that. Some people don't want to help. You know what I'm saying? You got people still want them here and all that. And then you just got to start talking to the kids and, you know what I'm saying, just be, let them know that it's a safe space when you can come to me. Where some people just, you know, like you said, it's a different time. You probably got to talk to kids different because it's a different era than it was like 30 years ago.
Yes. And so, here's one of those things that I want to just drop real quick and people can pick this up when they can. We always say, how was your day? And through this process, especially motivational speaking and speaking to parents, when they always ask the question, what do I look for? Ask your child, who did you eat lunch with today? Who did you play with on the playground? Who you play ball with today? Like if those individuals start changing or shifting, we now have a problem because especially when it comes to eating, you ain't finna just eat with anybody because, like, I don't like you sneezing and smacking and I don't want you, you know, putting your hand in my plate. So when those types of things shift, like I go from, you know, eating with Mike every day to go eating with his homie, like, whoa, well, why you ain't Mike ain't eating together no more? What happened? So already that there's something transpiring, and as a parent, that's what you go at first. Now they're gonna say it's nothing, but however, use your gut feeling, use your intuition, and go with it. There's another question that's always asked. Well, I can't sit in the classroom. That's what everybody tried to bombard my mom and my sister with about Mackenzie. But what people fail to realize is that my mama was a social worker of mental health, so my mama knew the signs. And that's why my mom and my sister was going to the school and they was making these calls and they was getting all this information and the school was not doing and keeping up and upholding their part in the conversation and the paperwork. So it's not that we neglected it or none of that stuff. My mom was in the field for 20 years. She knows what it looks like. So that's why she knew she was being bullied. I know that's what the media put, but I'm working my way around it. Every single one of them to set the record straight. There's a lot of stuff I let go and let, you know, be quiet about, hush, hush, but not about this, because I need y'all to understand that not only are we and did we go through this, there are other people not only in that same school system, but other school systems that do this every day. Somebody, baby, died today due to suicide for bullying in school. And I know because I'm still in the school system in Georgia. Yes. So I know. So
yeah, it'd be a lot of them, like, because I know we used to get, like, when I used to work there, we used to get, like, most kids there, they want to kill themselves. Basically, it was pretty much from bullying. So a lot of those kids were just come on the unit. They would be like, dang. Either they don't have as much as other kids that have been bullied. But now it's two times hard to be a kid now, because these kids are wearing designers to school, or coming in school with exotic cars and stuff. So it's even more pressure on them now than it was maybe 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. So it's hard for kids nowadays.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard. And then economic status, like, kids are being exposed to so much stuff, not only at school, but at home and in private and these private chats and all of those things. Like, it's so many private chats that it is ridiculous that the kids are in on their cell phones. It's text chats, it's Snapchats, it's Instagram chats, it's Facebook chats, it's Twitter chats, you name it. It's all these other cloud chats that they can hide from you. It's multiple chats that these babies are in and involved in, and pulled in, and then they're bullied inside of these chats that can be deleted. That's the problem. So, but that lasting impression of what that child went through is still in their minds mentally. So it is still bullying. Now it's called cyberbullying. So it's a lot, and we as parents, we really just have to stick together. Tell what it is. Like, those of us that's in the school system, we get a little more help than people that parents that are not, because you only focus on what your world, and then those of us that work in the school system, we got a different world, but that world includes your child.
Yeah, because they be on the game, they be in the, are you good? What you about to say?
Yeah, best is like nowadays, like, compared to when we were growing up, like 10, 15 years ago, cyberbullying can spread. That's not in the school. So if they put something online or put something on any one of these social networks, like, it's everywhere now. So that child, everywhere that child go, it's there. So it makes it 10 times more pressure on that child. Like, dang.
Yeah.
I'm bullying online. I can't get peace at home. I can't get peace at my peace's place. Because a lot of kids use their phone as their peace. So they be on their phone like, dang. Now it's on there, so it's making it 10 times harder for them.
Right.
And kids turn into...
They'll airdrop something in a heartbeat. These iPhones, everybody love them, but when I tell you, when it comes to our kids, they are deadly. It is a deadly place to airdrop a video of somebody being embarrassed by whatever may have happened, from a sexual content to being a fight in school, to something that happened in class, on the bus, you name it. It can be embarrassing, and your child won't be like, forget it, I'm over it, I kill myself just to get out of it. And it's very easy to kill yourself now. So many ways, so many things, and so many, parent
is a lot of ways. Pain.
So some kids are a whole two different medicines and different weapons that your child may not have that opportunity to have. But everybody's house is different. It's not the same. So you just have to be mindful. You gotta be afraid of, because it gets real out here.
Yeah, it is. Especially, like, I think kids take the little thing out the shower, like where the drain is. They'll take that, start cutting like pieces off the toilet, the sink. I think everything they can make a weapon out of to harm themselves. So I like to me, like you saying, we gotta make therapy okay. Like, we gotta Because kids be starting to going through bullying at the age of kindergarten.
So kindergarten,
we gotta make sure we gotta make sure it's okay to make sure my child, if I can't handle it, talk to my child the same way, it's okay for a child to go to therapy that young.
Yeah.
It's only get harder. Unless the issue is handled.
Because therapy has that bad, people be putting a bad stigma on getting therapy. Like, they'll say, yo, you're crazy or some shit like that, and it keeps people away from going to get help and everything.
And you also need to not get therapy. That's
exactly. Exactly. And like y'all going back to that cyberbullying, you know what I'm saying? You got people who've been memes for the last 12 years.
Yep.
Being memes. You going, you can't live a normal life because oh, you that kid on so and so meme. And right. That, like I'm saying, because back in the day, like you said, we wasn't exposed to much stuff. You probably knew right. stuff about 50-mile radius. And now they'll die over. No, I'm just saying they'll die over but in about a week. Right. Everybody forgot about it, but now that stuff is in there forever, for the end of time. So I think they gotta start really looking at, because some of this stuff don't need to be free. Like some of the right. social media is too overexposed. Everybody's too overstimulated and everything.
Right.
So yeah, but yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, really is. And it's only gonna get worse, especially like, I don't want to bring this up because I know what kind of interview is like with a kid who parents are like put certain stuff online from the OnlyFans to the regular like videos and
yes.
provocative pictures and videos. Those kids right. got to grow up.
Yeah,
and you know that's 10 times more harmful when there's evidence that your mom or your parent doing this. That's gonna hurt. There's gonna be a lot of kids that are gonna need counseling later on in life, like because of their parents' decisions.
Yeah, you can't delete all that. Somebody's saving their stuff. So you try to erase your OnlyFans, but you got some people gonna say that stuff and bring it up because you could right. think you're deleting the stuff. It's gonna be there forever. And even if you delete it, they got a website that's everything is archived. So, but yeah, but we want to say what inspired you to turn your book, What Death Do We Part, What Death Do We Part, into a movie, and what was the experience like?
So, I'm so sorry, I'm walking up the
house. No, you good, take your time.
I turned it into a movie because during COVID, one of my dear friends passed, and his last words to me was to turn my books into movies, and I really was not trying to do that. I really wasn't. Mm. And he just kept saying, you have something there. So you should do it. You should turn into a movie. You should really turn into a movie. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I was pulling, you know, sliding my feet. Didn't really want to do it. But when he passed, I was like, oh my Lord. Now it's like, I got to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like his last wish for me, because what's crazy, we just had Easter, so he passed, let me see, McKenzie passed 18, 19, so that must have been 20, he passed from COVID, and I was doing my very first, no, he passed in 21, because COVID had just ended or whatever, so I had just talked to him that Friday because I was headed to my first book signing because I hadn't been able to do one because of COVID. So I did my first book signing and I talked to him all the way there. And the next day he passed. Then later on that morning, one of my favorite cousins, her husband called the family and said that she had passed. And I was like, what? Like, all in one weekend, which was supposed to, you know, was Easter weekend, so it was Good Friday, blah, blah, blah. And I had two deaths back to back that meant so much to me. And that was like, wow. So I had to do it. So last year in 22, my first movie came out that I turned into a movie from book one.
Oh man, did you direct them? Yeah. I know you're like, how was that transition going from, did you direct it and all the good stuff and cast all that good stuff?
Yes, I wrote, produced, and directed. Of course, I had, you know, other directors, other producers in different areas and all of that stuff. But it was different because in the beginning, writing the books, I only thought I was going to write one book, and I'm in five deep now. So that was never like my intentions to do all that, but that's what has happened. And when I went to turn the book into from a book format to a script format, I found a lot of stuff that now the way I write makes it easier to turn my books into movies. I didn't have names for all the characters. I gave a description, so I'd be like, oh, Mike Friend. Well, what is Mike Friend name? Because he need a name for the movie. So it got real different locations, like different things, like visualizing all of that stuff had to come into play. It was different, but it was a learning experience. So for this next movie, I'll be ready. I'll definitely be ready.
So what location you used to film it?
So I filmed in Atlanta. I filmed in a lot of different locations. A club, I filmed in the club. I filmed in I filmed in a church. I filmed in two different churches, an event center, two clubs. It was a lot of, a couple of different houses. So yeah, it was a lot of locations for the first movie.
Oh, man, it's dope. Like you actually the second person come on here and just produce their film and produce their own movie. It's pretty dope.
It was different, but you know, you have to be a person that's organized, and then you have to have your own vision so you can give it to the people. And Mackenzie, of course, is in that first movie. Her actual part of her funeral service is in movie number one. What death do we call?
Man, I know that was traumatic. Was that traumatic for you to include that in your first movie?
It was. I actually broke down while we were filming it. I did. Because it hit me all over again. You know, that was 18. It was what, 22? Nope, it was 21. We released it in 22. So yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very, it's on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube. Not the whole funeral, but a clip of it. We're rolling the casket out of the gym of the school. And yeah, but it's in the movie because I just have to keep that forefront for everybody. Not only me, myself, but everybody that sees it will know that it's one, not a game, it's not a joke. And I do this for real for her, for real. It's not, my face and my name may be here, but the underlying real motive is her story, her name, and to stop bullying.
Man, so like, with that, like, I'm a switch the gears a little bit. So a lot of adults deal with bullying too. So when you go and speak, you speak to mostly schools and in elementary schools and middle schools, or do you ever speak to like adults too?
I have spoken to adults, and those were actually the main ones that reached out from the beginning when Mackenzie passed. And I say those were the main ones because I went to I switched schools my 10th grade year and went to a different school. And so it was a lot of picking, which is actually the school system Mackenzie was picked, was bullied and all of that stuff, and ultimately took her life. But a lot of those guys reached out to me, and half of them I have forgot about, like just their names alone. And when they heard about Mackenzie, they was like, that's Edwina. That's what my E and E and A stand for, my name, Edwina. That's Edwina's niece. And they was reaching out like, oh my God, you remember you did this for me? You remember you did that for me? And I was like, not really. Well, what they were saying to me is that I had taken up for them when they were being bullied. And if it had not been for me, they would have too killed themselves. And that they too, I'm 37 now, so it was like 32 years old. I still deal with that trauma from childhood, from high school. But if it wasn't for you, I would have killed myself too. And I can't believe somebody did your niece like that, all the good that you did for others. And I was like, wow. You know, I didn't remember a lot of that stuff because I was a cheerleader. I was on a dance team. Yeah, I switched schools, but that don't change the gift you got. You know, it don't change if you're good or not. That don't stop. So with that being said, it really that workplace bullying and all of those things. I have gone on jobs and talked about workplace bullying. And most of the time it's the manager, supervisor, and all those people in those high positions. And that's when I get a chance to talk about them on behalf of their employees because they don't want to lose their job, but I don't work for you. So you can't find me and I got paid before I got here. So good luck. But yeah, adult bullying take place on the job bullying and even adults bully kids. Like sometimes
Yeah, they do.
And that's not cool. And a lot of, and honestly, a lot of it stems from that tradition of do as I say and not as I do. Well, we're not in that generation no more. You got to talk. You have to talk and explain and be transparent because like the Freaknik about to come out. If y'all go ahead and put your pictures up, you're going to be seen on the
Go ahead.
With it, okay? Let them know. All right, let me holler at you. This is what mama did, and what daddy did. You gonna see this. Don't say something. Tell them what it is, because they already know what it is. They just waiting on you to tell them, because somebody already seen it. We live in a technology world. It's already there, baby. They know.
Jolea, it really is.
That's how that cop lost his job.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. But being transparent and just taking that time to talk with them, even sometimes it's not an everyday thing because kids are not slow, for real. They really comprehend what you say, but stop trying to just shove them out the way. Like, going on out the way, move. Just spend that 10, 15, 20 minutes, tell them a story, talk to them, and then they'll start engaging with you. Then they're going about their business. They've gotten your attention. They've gotten your time. That's all they wanted, and you done. Go cook them something to eat, take them out, and they don't even want to talk to you no more. They finna chill with their friend. They don't even know you, but they do want that time sometimes. So that's all we got to do is give them that time and talk to them, tell them about yourself. Because honestly, as I watch my children grow up, I see me and my kid. I know which one got what for me. And I don't, bash it. I just... Some parts of it I nurture because I'm like, yes, do that. Yeah. And then some parts I'm like, okay, so listen, we're not going to have this attitude, okay? let's learn to check out emotions, check out feelings, check out attitude and our character first before we start trying to nitpick and get at other people. See yourself first. See who you are first. Let's get us right first before we go out here and try to do all this other stuff towards other people. You check you first. But that starts at home.
It does. Yeah. See, that was most bullying forms from the parents. Yeah, parent, yep. If most bully parents was a bully. It's passed down like a genetic West Coast. It always passed down. So that most of where it comes from. Starting at home.
Generational, generational curse.
Curses, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of people are now trying to, they're becoming self-aware with it and they're trying to break the generational curse. And that's a good thing. But, you just got to, everybody really has to come in because, some people are going to be stuck in their own ways and they ain't going to want to change. And sometimes you just got to nip some stuff in the bud and be like, you know what? I can't waste my energy or my sanity trying to help somebody who don't want help. Sometimes you got to change it on yourself. So.
Yep. And sometimes in doing that, that's another part of grieving. Grieving is not just for the people that are dead. Grieving is also for the people you had to let go. And that's what I also found in this grieving process. When you have to let people go to do that healing process for yourself, you're going to lose really close friends and family. And when that happens, that's another death in your life, even though they're alive. And you have to go through the grieving process of just, you really have to let them go in order for your peace and your sanity to stay consistent. Otherwise, you revert back to the foolishness and you be looking like you're about to die or actually die. Heart attack and strokes and all those things. Oh, some people in our 30s, like dying from heart attacks. Say, do what? When I was younger, you was like 100 before you had a heart attack. Like you 30, you 39. Like, no. Stop allowing
our stress is real. Stress out.
Our parents cannot keep stressing us out. That's 30 and 40. Listen, we gonna get us clean. Y'all can leave therapy where y'all had it, which you didn't talk about. It was taboo to do, but we gonna do it. Because we need therapy from the lifestyle that we grew up under and we want better for ourselves. So get therapy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Therapy over social media. Yeah, that's right. Like, a lot of people, they think, especially in the Black community, think you go and see a therapist, they think you're crazy. Like, right. I don't know why that stigma was around. That scared a lot of people off, but a lot of people just need somebody to talk to vent to, because you don't vent to your partner. You don't vent to, like, you need to vent to someone, a professional that can give you the right advice and the right help.
And if you have a partner, y'all go together, because that's when you both gonna figure out those childhood traumas, heal together. Now you are making a deeper bond with your partner so that you guys can grow and glow together.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, how it supposed to be? You got like, you hit it right on the head. Yeah, both need to go together. Cause like, you know, especially if y'all coming in both of them with trauma, two strong people can't help each other. Two hurt people can't help each other.
Like my husband's song, he is hurt people. So
that's true. That is true. And sometimes you just gotta like you said, and that's a good, I'm glad you said that. I may have to try that and just go with my girl and probably go to therapy together. And then like you said, glow.
So. Intimacy, you getting to heal and love on each other together. Cause ain't nobody perfect, but you imperfect healing together.
True. That is true. I got one. What kind of advice would you give aspiring authors or speakers, you know what I'm saying, who trying to tackle the topics of grief and trauma in their work? What kind of advice would you give them?
Most people that I know, they keep doing the word try. Do it. Just do it.
That's like
when I told y'all I changed schools, I changed from 9th grade to 10th grade. I tried out and I made the team, but I had to go try out to make the team. I didn't try in my mind. I'm like, I'm gonna try out and never go. That I would have never made the team because I didn't actually do the act that it took to make the team. Stop talking about you trying, do it.
Yeah, there were a lot of people in here. It's like, yeah, you can talk about it all day. That's the difference between there's talkers and there's selfers. They separate everybody. Like, you talk about it all day, but until you actually do it, it don't count.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It'll never be done. Somebody else will do it. But, oh, they took my idea. Well, you was yours first. Go get it done. Get it done. And that's what happened when it came to the books. Like, I was like, forget it. Just do it. And I did. I was like, all right, I'm dropping it. Like, let go, I'm dropping it. It was like, I wasn't finished with the script. I was like, forget it. Call the cast. We haven't, because once you put it out there, you can't take it back. So now it puts that, not necessarily pressure, but it makes you get out that laziness, that procrastinating mode, and get it done. Let's pop it. Let's go. What's up? You open a bottle of champagne, what is you going to do? Drink it. You're not going to let it sitting there, you're gonna drink it, so pop that bottle and let's get it. What we waiting for?
Got it. Once you start, like that, once you start, might well finish. Like, that's great advice.
And then you look back, like I'm looking back right now, just thinking, like, this fool, I really did 5 books and a movie. Oh, my God.
Because it's like,
but I'm like, okay, that's an accomplishment because there's so many people that still trying.
True. And that's why they said that you want. Do you want to go through the pain of regret or the pain of discipline?
So. That's right. It disciplined the hell out of me. Trust that.
Oh, man. You got any upcoming books or movies coming out soon that you're working on right now?
My 6th book will be out on my birthday, August 30th of 2023. Me and my husband's an R&B singer, and most of his songs, which I pulled out of his arsenal that he hadn't sung in 20 some years or produced correctly, so we reproducing a lot of music, but they are fit characters or the meaning or the direction of my books. And so we do this thing called R&B and reading, where we read the book to you, and during intermission he sings the songs that's connected to that particular book, and we are out on tour, we in different places, but it's usually private because it's small. But the reactions and the faces of the people as the book is being read is just hilarious. Absolutely love it. So yeah, we are probably gonna make the R&B and reading bigger, and we're probably gonna make a documentary out of it, but we are in the works with that right now. So you heard it first here. I had told that to anybody. But yes, that's what I have so far. And of course, you can go to my website, ejenellc.com. That's ejenellc.com. And you can get all 5 of my books. You can stream my movie right now live on my website. It is $7.77. And if you know 777, then you know, you know. And that's that.
Man, I'm
so before we get out of here, If you have one message to say to any kid who out here going through bullying, or any even an adult, anybody who's going through bullying, what would that be?
Please reach out to a therapist. Reach out to a safe haven. You can even reach out to me, because I will get you back to those therapists that will be a safe haven for you, because it is not okay. It is not your fault that somebody is so insecure with themselves that they have to pick on you to be happy. That's mental. They need counseling.
Yeah. It's a lot of pain. A lot of pain.
Yeah, a lot of it. So we're gonna play the song. Like, that's your husband's song you have to sing?
Yes, Kev Williams, yes.
Hey, you should come on through. Like, hey, I just seen it back, guys. Come on.
Guys. Yeah, today's been crazy. He has to go take one of the boys to his mom real quick. So yeah, he had to run out. So I stayed at the house. So yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, we're gonna, like, you know what I'm saying? My last question for you, you should have had us in this. I just didn't know us, but
this is coming up, so you won't be the next one.
Let us know when the audition. We'll come out there.
Oh yeah.
I promise. Y'all like, Mom.
Let us know for real. Let us know.
No, where y'all live?
In Columbus.
Columbus.
Which Columbus? Ohio or Georgia?
Georgia.
Columbus, Georgia.
Well, we run quick from each other. That's where I'm at.
Let's run it. Let us know when the audition. I'll come out there.
Yeah, I promise.
We run the corner from each other. I'm in Columbus, Georgia.
Well.
Wait, what is this?
My bad. Are we reading your vibe? We thought you were in Atlanta for real, though.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, I haven't changed that. That's my bad. Yeah, I haven't changed.
Oh, okay.
I'm also on K92.7. Y'all know, y'all don't listen to me on Sundays.
No, I said, I saw the K92. I said, she in Columbus. Oh, this is Atlanta. This is, I don't know. Hey. Yeah. Players make mistakes.
That's okay.
Oh, man. Oh, we sorry about that. But, so you go and talk to, like, the kids in the city in Columbus?
Yeah, I've talked to the kids here in Columbus. I'm a trainer for the county as well, for the school district. And so I've been over to Brewer, Wesley Heights, who else? St. Mary's. What's the other school? Martin Luther King, Spencer, Carver, Kendrick. It's another school. Oh, of course, Rothschild, Georgetown, East Columbus, Father God. Yeah, I've been at all of them.
That's good. Hey, you's an advocate, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's big, because like you said, a lot of kids don't have a voice. Especially the one who are being bullied or going through something. A lot of kids be bullied at home by their parents. They ain't got to come to school again with another more bullying. So it's all around. So it's great you advocating for them and able to be their voice and able to be their outlet, stuff like that.
Yeah.
For them.
Thank you.
Well, like, have anything else before we go? We're gonna play the song on the way out.
Well, make sure you guys go to my website, ejenellc.com. That's ejenellc.com. You can read all about me, what I've done for the McKenzie Foundation. McKenzie does have a whole page on the website talking about her life and just pictures of her. I'm going to do a second page to give more visuals, more pictures, and some things I found from YouTube, some of her voice. With this also helps my mom and my sister heal just to hear her voice, because sometimes, you know, when people pass, the thing you say, I wish I could hear their voice one more time. So I'm going to surprise them with that coming up on her birthday in August. And so
that'll be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, man, we want to thank you coming on. Like, man, we like, I think the world needs this message. They need to hear about it.
They really do.
Like, a lot of kids, not just kids, a lot of people are going to, are dealing with things, or can't speak up for themselves. I can't stand up to what they feel is bullying, because bullies can come at you at all forms of life. Like, so you just not have to be a child. You can be an adult. You can be a young, old. You still going to have to deal with it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you coming on, getting people like, dang, it is somebody I can out there, can go out there and talk to. Well, it is okay to seek care about bullies.
So that'd be a family member too.
And also, a lot of jobs, they now have this thing in our insurance policies where you can go and get your therapy session off of your insurance that the company has to offer. So use it.
Yeah.
Use it. Now, some of us don't be us and go try to use it, get a check. However, you need to get your mind right.
True that. You're right about that.
Yeah.
It makes you a better person.
Right. Yeah, I promise. Yeah, get you in a better mental state. Don't take advantage of the situation.
That's right.
Yeah, don't do that. So this song, it's produced by your husband, Kevin.
Yeah. So I'm sure y'all may know him, Marco Rich. Marco Rich is the producer. Kev Williams, a songwriter and singer.
Righty.
What's the name of the?
Marco in Phoenix City.
Same thing. so we about to give our listeners some play the song for a listener. I tried to upload it, but I don't know. Probably going to upload, but I'm going to
start it. It's another Gen Top exclusive.
Hey.
Had several last week.
We appreciate you coming out here.
Maybe I can be your minister, right? Wanna get with you tonight. Maybe I can be the one. Can I be the one to make you wanna change your life? I'm not even trying to spend the night. You know I got that out of love. That's life. My TBS is made out of love. I have a spark on you. It don't matter where you at as long as I'm with you. And be around. Yeah, and I'll be on my way. The ride. Yeah, tell me what's going on. Where are you? Let me know. I just want to catch fire with you and you let me start using stuff you never seen. I will let you know that I'm on your street. So baby, just send me up, just send me up, just
And that was dope. You said that song is included in your movie.
Yes, yes, that is one is placed in the first movie. What Death Do We Part? The Revenge. Y'all got to see that. Go to my website and get that now. I'm telling y'all, it's
I'm about to check it out tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna.
We need to get it on Prime and too. We need to get it on all the outlets. We need to get it
all
on
the outlets.
I'm not on Netflix. Y'all get them over here because I got a couple places like your podcast. I'll be uploading from people that are in Columbus and Atlanta that has their podcast uploading on to my website, my network. I got my own network.
Oh, you got your own network. That's dope.
DJLC.com is my network.
we've got to get into that. We got into the building. So explain your network. What you do for your network? Like what does the network does?
So the network has my movies on it. And I say movies because we just been working on it because it was some parts of it I didn't like. I do have a comedy special that is, I got partial of it up, but that was in memory of my friend that I talked about earlier, Cliff Cole, that passed. He was a comedian. And so I did a comedy show in his name and I filmed it. But yeah, it's not fully up, but What Death Do We Part? The Revenge is up. Other clips from Kevin's, performances around the states is on that site. Of course, all my books are on that site. Merchandise is on that site. And as I said, some local people from Columbus will be uploading, having their own channel on my network. So yeah, and it'll be free for the people, their channels, because they're not charging right now. I did charge that $777 for my book because we had to refilm What Death Do We Part, and that's why it's called The Revenge, because not only revenge for the people that's in the movie, but it's revenge on the production company that tried to steal my movie that I had to take to court.
Oh, man.
So, yes, sir. And so a lot of my cast came back. They returned and stuck with your girl, and they didn't ask for money, so I gave them a percentage of the movie. So I let everybody know your $777 is not just going to me and the McKinsey Foundation. It's going to my cast that did not take money the second time around, that bought their own flight tickets and hotels to stay in this time around, when the first time I did pay for hotel stay and paid their salary and fed them and all of those things. And when we had to reshoot, they did it themselves because of the mission, which was the McKinsey Foundation that we were on. So 777 is divided among all of my investors via money or time. And most of that belongs to my cast. And again, I love my cast and I thank them for that. And when you look back at Tyler Perry, people keep always saying, I always heard them say, oh, he keep the same people. This is the reason why. Because once you find those loyal and dedicated individuals that just ride with you because of your vision, not really so much you, but yes, you and how you treat them, but that vision and that their loyalty and their deliverance that they give on camera, not so much backlash, they learn and get into formation and do right. And we all come out as family. That's why you see a lot of writers and directors keep and get the same actors and actresses because of that reason. I didn't understand. Yeah. Oh, but I got it now.
You gotta have that. Like when you work with the same people, you get the better vibe and get the better product. You keep interchanging, they're gonna throw it off.
Yeah, especially when book two become a movie. I'm gonna need them same characters, and bless the Lord, they were actually really good actresses and actors, and a good bit of them were comedians, like those that Chitlin' Circuit comedians, but they cut a fool, okay? Like a like the head therapist. Of course, therapy is in movie one. So the head therapist, she is a comedian that had been on tour with Bruce and any big name person you can name. Like, she is my head therapist, my homegirl. I've been knowing for, oh God, like 10 years now. And yeah, she killed it as a therapist. She talks major shit. Like, she cuts up. Yes. My other comedian, Big Mama, out of New Jersey, she flew in for me multiple times to make sure her stuff was right and on point. She is hilarious. She keep up a lot of mess in the movie, but you got to go watch it.
I'm going to check it out. You said it's on your way outside. Yeah,
We're going to check that out.
Yes.
They don't have your own network, like, so you.
That's right. So when it's
all come, mine.
Y'all ready to come? We can do a sit down and get that in.
We can do that. We're gonna promote you. We're gonna promote your husband's song and everything. We're gonna give you the words. We're gonna promote you and everything. We appreciate you. We appreciate you doing good content with us. This is one of the ones. It's one of them good episodes for real.
Good. Thank you.
For the people, like really, especially in a time like this, perfect timing, especially like you said with the Freakness. A document's coming out. Like, it's a lot.
Somebody
a lot of
feeling about to be heard.
Yeah.
I tease, is that you?
And some people's like, oh, they got fat. They gained in 100 pounds, child. We know that face when we see that face.
I know.
Like, wait a minute, ain't that a small face of yours? No, baby, we know your face.
But either way.
You don't have a tattoo.
Either way, I would give one day. Just give me one day to just experience that back in the day.
Just one day. Yes,
I know that vibe was hitting.
Yes, yeah, it was.
So, but yeah.
Look, my husband tagged me in some song. Is that you on the back of the truck, man? I was in the fourth grade. Stop playing. I was in the fourth grade. My mama kicked all my behind. No, ma'am. We was in church 24/8 then, baby. I didn't know nobody about freaks and neeks and nothing. I know about the Lord. And I better sing the right note or my daddy gonna stop playing and be like, you better sing right. Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. But yeah, this was a great episode.
Yeah, it was. Again, man, we appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your precious time to right now our platform, man. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and we got to meet in person since we ain't that far from each other.
Oh, we can, definitely can.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think the next Kevin's next shows are in Atlanta, because usually we was either at the Suite or at Daiquiri's and Hideaway.
We've been
all those places around town.
Oh, trust me, if there's a karaoke place, we try to go to.
Oh, no. No. He don't karaoke, baby.
Oh, we know y'all.
I'm his manager. Look, he don't karaoke.
I know y'all. Don't know.
We got I'm talking about us.
I said, when we go to a karaoke place, we had the food.
Yeah, he does a lot of karaoke. I think one. Oh, that was last night at Hideaway.
Yeah, that's what we've been meaning to go to.
Yeah, I pulled up over there a few times. See him?
Yeah. We go out there at food one time. Ain't that right, Groove Drew? Oh, he's not on?
I guess.
Hey, buddy.
I was just listening. I was just listening because I think because I'm driving right now, I think it had me on drive mode. So I was just listening.
Hey, you don't want one? I was driving too, so that was my fault. Everybody, check those movies out. With that movie, yeah, that's the only one that you can see all the way through. Everything else will be clips or trailers. And get the book. Like I have some books on hand, so I do have autographed books on hand if anybody want one or whatever. Because that's what I when people come to the R&B and reading, they get a book with their interest. So I signed a book.
Do you do that in Columbus?
I did do one in Columbus March the 3rd. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Everybody showed up. I was so excited. I'm gonna send y'all some pictures so y'all can see these faces, because them faces is some serious. Like, what? Did she just wait a minute? And so what I love the most about it is that when I have my narrator, I don't read. I let somebody else read. So like I would ask you guys to read for me, and you had never read my books before. Perfect person to ask, because as you read and my words sneak up on you, you be like, hold on, let me reread it for myself. Forget y'all. Let me reread it. So, yeah, my narrators was dropping like flies when it got to the erotic part. Because did I say that part? I write sexual content, yeah, in my book. Even though it's supernatural, it's very explicit, and I'm very detailed. So, yeah, baby.
It's my thing, huh?
I do
the men,
want
to write the men, look, the men be more hot than they was. They be
nah,
like, I do want to, sir, baby, I did it again. Let's go.
Right, cause I want to write an erotic novel.
Oh,
and yeah, I'm gonna start about doing that. That'll get one with visuals or some shit like that one day.
My visuals is real, it's me, it's real silly. So, like I said, supernatural. So my visuals, you got an eye, or you got somebody floating in the air, you got a car or whatever.
That's all good. I mean, everybody right there. It sounds good though. I'm gonna check it out.
Oh, that cuts up. And that's the reason documentary, because we want it to be read to people and not just the original way. Everybody, oh, get an ebook. That's cute, but I'm not an ebook. That's what normal people do. I'm Ejanae, baby. I don't do nothing normal. Okay. I'm doing the Ejanae way. So we're gonna do something bigger than the ebook. Damn ebook. I'm good.
Hey, man. I love the image. You came on here like you like some people come on flat, but you brought all the images tonight.
Why am I wake up like that? They be asking what I had. I ain't had nothing yet, but what I do?
She said she had life.
I turned up time. I know.
Said she have life. That's what I'm talking about.
Because I'm telling you, that really is the truth. I was high before Mackenzie's death, but my thing I always say, if you can die at 9, you can die at any time. So I might as well live every single day God gives me breath in my body and help whoever I can as I leave out of here. Because I still have children left behind here. And what I can do for somebody else, I don't want it for me. I want it for my babies. When they say my name, I want everything in their life to change for the better. So that's my mission, is to always do right by people. But if I gotta let you go, then nigga, I gotta let you go. Just know, son, daughter, if mama don't deal with them, baby, it's the reason. But that's okay. They may be better to you, but be on the watch. Keep your eyes open, baby. But I do my best to do right by people for my children, because that's something that definitely was handed down from my mom. I remember the situation. I was trying to get some paperwork filled out and completed to complete my divorce. And this lady was giving me the hardest time. I was like, God, come on, yo. And I was like, okay, chill out. I was like, you know, Miss Janice. She was like, Miss Janice, Miss Adams, she just bought me some of it the other day. I said, girl, I'm her oldest daughter. She had denied me for 30 minutes. Like, she would say no. And I asked another, then she'll say no, because I'm a solution giver. I have solutions. So if I can't get A, here go B, here go C. Damn it, I was almost down to Z. And I was like, I'm giving up, Lord. And then I called my mama's name. And because my mom had been so nice to her over the years, I had what I asked for her 30 minutes ago in 2 minutes. So,
oh, man.
Your name means something. So that's why I want to do right by people. So when that happened, that story my kids can tell about me, like I can tell about my mom.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I think my dad party Illuminati.
This fool, look, my dad amazing too. So I know them niggas been following me for years. Cause this some stuff I'm like, I should have never been able to do this. But all right, I'm not listening. I don't care. Y'all know who I am. 37 years in, you know me. I bought my movie and all five of my books.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
That's so silly.
Hey, then we like to have fun. Like,
there we go.
Me too.
See, this is the TV PG version of Gen Talk. Mm-hmm. Got to TV MA.
Hey, TMA. Oh, my books is MMAXXXL and all that stuff.
Well, damn.
Yeah, man. When I say my narrators are falling like flies, like I had Jolly from Foxy 105, because you know that's a sister station, 2K, because we all Davis broadcasting. So she started my narrating and she started falling. So my husband picked up, and then his first sentence I had out was something sexually explicit. And he was just like, okay, let me, where the wine at? I was like, you need wine? My God, let's go. They was like, who, what is in your brain in that book? What's in my brain?
Oh, man.
My book is sexually explicit. Yes, it is. I think book one starts off in having sex. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm on book six, so who knows? Somebody else got to read and tell me what it's saying. Because when we was filming, it was like, isn't that what's next? I don't know. Y'all been going on the script. I'm on book number five. I don't know what that say. Read it to me. Read. Okay, I don't like that. Do this part. I don't know. You got the paperwork. I don't know, baby.
Oh, Ian and Mike.
You are so silly.
What you about to say on trail?
I said, you gonna end it? No.
Yes, we're gonna go ahead and end it. Hey, this has been the Gen Talk Podcast. We'd like to appreciate Ejanae for coming on, making a great content. Please go get her book, and please, ma'am, can you please give your website again so the good people can go to it?
Yes, so it's ejanaellc.com. That's ejanaellc.com.
All righty. Groovy Drew, do you have anything to say? It's been the Gentile Podcast. It's been the Gentile Podcast. And as always, we in the jungle, baby.
Hey.
Wrong
time.
Good night.
Good night.
Mike, come on.
Is that Jen Talk? Is that Jen Talk?
Baby, why you flex?
Baby, why you flex?
Acting like that I'm the only one that you're
texting.
Can I see you in that gold dress? No way. I just wanna give you moments that you're
expecting.
Baby, let's take a ride.
Just send me your
location.
Just send me your
location.
Location.
I'll be around.
Maybe I can be your Mr. Right. I just wanna chill with you tonight.
Or maybe I can be the one. Can I be the one who make you wanna change your life?
I'm not even trying to spend the night.
You know I got that kind of love. Catch flights.
My GPS is made out of love.
And it's locked on you.
It don't matter where you at as long as I'm with you.
Send me your
location.
I'll be
around. Yeah, yeah. And I'll be on my way. Send me your location. I'm down for the ride. Yeah, yeah. Tell me what's going on right now. I just wanna be where you are. Where are ya? Let me know. I just wanna catch vibes and chill with you. Let me show you things that you never seen. Love will let you know when I'm on your street. So baby, just send me your, just send me your, just send me your location. Just send me your, just send me your, just send me your location. Send me wanna chill with you tonight. Maybe I can be the one. Can I be the one who make you wanna change your life? I'm not even trying to spend the night. You know I got that kind of love, make you catch flights. My GPS is made out of love, and it's locked on you. It don't matter where you at as long as I'm with you. Send me your location. I'll be around. Yeah, yeah. And I'll be on my